Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Miami, Florida, and earned a bachelor's degree in physical education from Florida International University while working as a bouncer at a local nightclub. He began coaching high school basketball in 1985 and then college basketball in 2000. Since 2012, he's been the head basketball coach at South Carolina, and in 2017, he led the South Carolina squad to the school's first Final Four appearance. His name, Coach Frank Martin. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, a News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Coach Frank Martin, who since 2012 has been the head basketball coach at the University of South Carolina. Frank, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Oh, it's great. Great to be here with you. We've been talking about doing this for a while, and now that we're practicing, my schedule finally slowed down a little bit.
Okay. Let's start by talking about your childhood, and you loved your mom. Talk about your childhood and your mom, whose name is Lourdes.
Yeah. You know, it's, you know, Jack, I come from the inner city of Miami, Cuban immigrant parents. My dad made a decision when I was, my sister and I were young, to leave the house, and he kind of left the house, and like when I mean left, he left, and kind of left us with my mom and my grandma, her mom, and my mother's brother, my uncle, and that's the way my sister and I were raised. And I saw my mom fight real hard, as you can imagine. She got to this country when she was in the 10th grade, didn't speak a word of English. So there was only so many job opportunities for a high school graduate that didn't speak great English. She made ends meet. And the one thing that her, my uncle, my grandmother, they never did was allow us to understand we were poor, because they gave us so much love in the house. And they taught my sister and I to always pay attention to what we had rather than worry about the things that we didn't have. And that's in a nutshell. That's the environment I grew up in. And, uncomfortable moments outside the home sometimes, on the streets and in the neighborhood and things of that nature. But for the most part, I was raised by my mom in a neighborhood that cared about young people like me.
And that neighborhood, they referred to as the Little Havana area. Coach, where did you get your love for basketball?
My grandmother. My grandmother in Cuba, the two sports that she played were basketball and tennis. It all comes from her. My dad, the short time he was in my life, wanted me to be a baseball player. As a kid growing up, all we had, I grew up in the Orange Bowl neighborhood of Miami. The old Orange Bowl is not there anymore. All we had were the Miami Dolphins. There was nothing else. There was no professional baseball or basketball. There was no college basketball. I wanted to be the next Larry Zonka. Basketball is what my grandmother played, and that's I remember watching the 72 Olympic game when the Russians cheated the United States, and her, because of her hatred for Russia, because of their alliance with Fidel Castro, her crying and just losing her mind. And I'll never forget that, being a six-year-old kid when that took place. All those memories, and eventually when I got into basketball, I carry her passion for basketball every day I take the court.
Coach Martin, how good were you as a kid?
When good as a person, you mean?
As a basketball player.
Oh, I was awful. I mean, I was a good football player, and I was a pretty good baseball player. But I gave up baseball because, despite my dad for basically leaving our family and turning his back on me. So I gave up baseball, and then I pretty much, played football. And then as a ninth grader, I went to see a high school basketball game at my high school, Miami Senior High, and I fell in love with it. It was sold out. It was an unbelievable atmosphere. Miami Senior High is the second oldest high school in the state of Florida. It's old Spanish architecture. The gym was known as the Asylum. And it was just an unbelievable moment for me. And I said, you know what? I want to play in that gym one day. And so as I started moving forward, I started paying more attention to basketball. And that became a dream of mine. And that's why the only thing I ever wanted to do was coach at my high school. I never dreamt of being the head coach of South Carolina or Division I or anything. I just wanted to be the head coach of my high school.
Well, let's go back to 1992. You're a bouncer at a nightclub, and there is an incident that changed your life. Please.
Yeah, it's. I've been coaching basketball. I think for about 6-7 years by then, and I was working nights, and I was still taking classes during the day, and I was a substitute teacher in the mathematics department at Miami Senior High. So I was managing all those responsibilities, but trying to make enough money to to be able to pay the bills that had continued to grow as I continued to get a little older. And one of the jobs I enjoyed bartending, but the schedule for this one place, I had to bounce a couple nights a week, which I had done a lot of earlier in my life. And so I was doing it. And long story short, brouhaha breaks out. We take the guys, we throw them out. And bar closes at 1:45. But now we walk out, and as we walk out, we saw an empty parking lot and one car with no lights on, kind of driving towards the restaurant. And for whatever reason, there was a car parked right in front of the restaurant bar area, just parked there. And we sensed it, and they came by and started shooting. And we hid behind that car, and that car drove away. And it wasn't one of those things that you call the cops or whatever. It's just it's not what you did. And I got home that night, and I was laying in my bed, and I said, you know what? Getting shot at to make $150 is not something that I want to continue to be a part of. So I decided to go to school full time for a semester and get my degree so I can become a full-time teacher, and I did that, and the rest is history.
We're talking to Coach Frank Martin, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Coach Frank Martin, who after 30-plus years of coaching basketball, became an overnight genius earlier this year when he led his South Carolina squad to the school's first Final Four appearance. Coach, 1985 to 2000, 13 years you teach high school ball in the Miami area. Talk about that chapter of your life.
Yeah, that's the lessons learning as a kid, and then the lessons learned in the classrooms of these challenges that those kids faced every day. Me coming from it allowed me to be more understanding of what they lived every day, formed me into who I am today and who I continue to fight to be every single day. Unbelievable experiences watching young people. This is the way I always share it, with folks that ask, You know, Friday afternoon when they left, they felt real good. And when they got back Monday morning, a lot of them were scarred, and not physically scarred, but mentally scarred. And then you use the whole week to once again elevate their self-esteem and their enthusiasm for learning and for success. And you constantly, it was a never-ending chapter. I mean, it's just like, you know, Groundhog Day all over again. But you stayed in it because you knew that you were impacting young people in a way that was going to give them an opportunity to succeed. And so those years are special. Those years educated me, made me what I stand for today. And that's why I always say that I came into this world as a school teacher in the inner cities of Miami. And someday I'm going to get fed up with college basketball, or it's going to get fed up with me. I don't know which one's coming first. But I'm going to get fed up with it, and I'm going to leave the way I came in, and that's back in that classroom.
We're talking to Coach Frank Martin. And in 2000, he joined the college coaching ranks with Northeastern University. And then, Coach, 2007 through 2012, you're the head coach of Kansas State. Big difference from Kansas State to the Havana area of Miami. Talk about that chapter, please.
Yeah, it's in 2000, I took a job in Boston, Massachusetts at Northeastern University. I took about an $8,000 pay cut to take a chance to become a Division I assistant coach. And a guy named Bob Huggins, who I'd gotten to know real well during my high school coaching days, helped me get that job. 4 years later, he hires me in Cincinnati. 2 years later, I go to Manhattan, Kansas, along with him. And I remember being in his house in Cincinnati, and he says to me, "Frank, I think I want to take the job at K-State, but I'm not doing it unless you come." And I said, "Hugs, you're my guy. Wherever we're going, we're in." He said, "You sure your wife is going to be okay with moving to Manhattan, Kansas?" And I said, "Absolutely, Hugs. She's all in. She gets it, da-da-da." So he calls, takes the job. So I call my wife. I said, "Hun, it's done. We're going to Manhattan." Well, my wife's from Manhattan, New York. So she thinks I'm talking about New York City. And she's like, "Oh, my God, my family and blah, blah, blah," and all this other stuff. And, you know, and I said to her, "Hey, hun, it's Manhattan, Kansas." And she said, "We'll talk when you get home," and hung up on me. And Hugs says, "She okay?" And I said, yeah, she's great. And so when I got home, I got into this conversation with her about, you know, just how great it's going to be and things of that nature. And, you know, and she's a trooper. She's phenomenal. So we end up moving out there. And little did we know that 8 months later, I was going to become the head basketball coach at Kansas State University. And then the next 5 years were just an unbelievable experience. So much learning for me to do while on the job. Special group of people. Bob Huggins, our staff was very tight. Bob Huggins, when he left for West Virginia, he told the guys on the staff, "It's Frank's turn. Take care of him. You know, I'll be okay." And so our staff basically stayed together. And those guys have all become like friends. The heck with basketball. They're friends and family. And just an incredible, incredible experience. And the players and the fans. You know, my youngest was born in Manhattan, Kansas. So that place, that's where my head coaching career was born. And at the collegiate level. And it's a place that'll always be very, very dear to me and my family.
All right. March 2012, you go home to Anya and say, "Honey, we've had it in Manhattan. We're going to take the head coaching job at South Carolina." What did she say when you told her that, Frank?
Well, it's that last season in Manhattan, her mom was battling breast cancer. And she, you know, it was hard. I'm in the middle of the season, so it's hard for my wife to travel with young kids at home. Her mom obviously couldn't travel. And it kind of made me reflect a lot that my mom lives in Miami. She's getting older. Anya's mom's inability for Anya and her to connect while she was battling this crazy disease of cancer, made me reflect that, like, yo, Frank, you might want to start thinking of getting your families closer together. And the way the world works, I know my wife had no interest in living in Florida. If I was going to leave Manhattan, Kansas, I had no interest in living in the snow and the cold air anymore. In Columbia, South Carolina, if you look in a map, it's equally distant from New York and South Florida. And the weather's unbelievable. The history was there. The program had kind of gotten down in the dumps a little bit. Actually, a lot, not a little bit. But I was okay with that. I it didn't bother me. And then, you know, at the end, as great as the times were in Manhattan, Kansas, to a certain extent, the credit was being given to Bob Huggins and Michael Beasley, and I understood that, and that never bothered me. But the challenge of being able to go somewhere where no one had won at a high level in such a long time, the school had not won an NCAA game since 1973, I believe. And the thought of, like, Frank, you know, if you go there and you build it, then it's about you and your team and your program, and that'd be a great experience. And we took a chance, and it's been an unbelievable ride.
And you've succeeded immensely. Let's talk a little about the details of coaching college basketball. Talk to us first, Frank, if you will, about the importance of having leadership within a team.
Yeah, that's the common ingredient for any successful operation. There's got to be leadership. And you've got good leadership and bad leadership. There's no such thing as leadership and lack of leadership. It's either one or the other. It's either good or bad. And it's got to start somewhere. I believe when you're starting an organization, leadership starts from the head coach. My high school coach told me a long time ago, the most important person in the room every single day is the head coach. And he was right. The head coach has to instill the characteristics, the values, the leadership qualities that are important for their organization to succeed. And then as you start recruiting the people, and what I mean recruiting is sometimes is recruiting internally. The people that are going to fight for those values every day, then you start empowering those individuals. And then those individuals start fighting for the common things that are important to you, but they're doing it through their eyes, their voices, their flavor, which starts to make the leadership quality stronger because they're coming at everybody through different voices, different eyes, different feel, different ways, but for the same set of core values. And that's what we fight to have every day. And then my job now as our, for example, here, as my assistant coaches, my staff members, my players, now they get it and they fight for those things every day. Now my job is to make sure that I always help the ones that are fighting for it, that I protect them, I guide them, And I never allow anyone to come in here and try to defeat the values that they fight for every day.
We're talking to Coach Frank Martin. When we come back, we're going to ask him about a special night, March 26th, 2017. And I'm Jack Krasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasul, and we're with Coach Frank Martin, head basketball coach, University of South Carolina. Frank, March 26, 2017, you beat Florida to get to the Final Four. All of South Carolina goes crazy. What was that night like?
Oh, yeah, Jack, it's a moment that'll stick with me for the rest of my life. Obviously, selfishly, any time as a coach in our business, you make it to the Final Four. You win national championships, make it to the Final Four. Those are the top two honors in our industry. And I don't know how to word it any other way that other than that allows you to become a member of a club. And that club is the guys that have been fortunate to be in Final Fours. But that night in specific, of all the places that it could have taken, the school had never been to a Final Four. So for us to qualify for the first time ever, telling you what I had told you earlier as far as coming here and being able to build it, and then our players and our staff would get the credit for doing it ourselves. The history of South Carolina basketball involves New York City. Bobby Cremins, Brian Winters, Kevin Joyce, just on and on and on. It's New Yorker after New Yorker, all recruited here by Donnie Walsh, and then obviously by Frank McGuire. And to be able, of all the places in the country, that we end up in the region to go to the Final Four at Madison Square Garden because of the things that I just expressed to you. My wife's a New Yorker. We recruit New York. It's the Mecca of basketball. And then my sister lives in Brooklyn and with her husband and her family. And when my family left Cuba, they lived in Jersey, right on the other side of the river. And New York was always very dear to them. And I always saw New York through their eyes. And for all those emotions to come together because of basketball, and then me being on the court right after the game, and I've got my children crying, my wife crying, my mother crying, Darius Rucker crying, and both young and old South Carolinians crying, and selling out Madison Square Garden, that was so powerful, and it's a moment that will be with me forever and ever.
What did you tell your wife and your mom when you hugged them on that court?
Basketball brought my wife into my life. So I just thanked her because she could have said, no, I'm not going to Manhattan, Kansas. She could have said, no, I'm not moving to Cincinnati with you. She could have said, no, we're not going to South Carolina. And none of this would ever happen. And when my wife, Anya, gave up her career, because she had a career, and she gave it up to help me fight for mine, she's my best friend. She's my truest, most loyal partner, and it was incredible. And then my mom, if it wasn't for her sacrifices, because of the challenges that you and I spoke about before, to fight every day, to not really speak English real well, but yet figure out a way to go do her job. And regardless of the roadblocks, the obstacles, the challenges to find success, the fact that no one in my family had ever attended college, that she continued to invest love and help in any way, shape, or form while raising my sister and I, I had to give her thanks for being such a strong woman and having so much courage and so much love for her family and her children.
During that week of Final Four, someone asked you the famous question, Coach, how have the kids changed in 35 years? Here's your answer. You know what makes me sick to my stomach? When I hear grown people say that kids have changed, kids haven't changed. Kids don't know anything about anything. We've changed as adults. We demand less of our kids. We expect less of our kids. We make their lives easier instead of preparing them for what life is truly about. We're the ones who have changed. Could you expound on that a little bit, Frank?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one thing that when I was put on the spot that day, I gave my answer. And there was one part of my answer that I didn't word it as well as I'd like to. And that's where kids know nothing about nothing. On the contrary, kids have more information today than any of us ever did when we were their age, because of technology and social media. And the problem is that when I say they know nothing about nothing is they don't have the life experiences to be able to understand all this information that they have, what's good information and what's misinformation. And that's what's changed. What's changed is the ability of young people to have access to much more information than we had. They have access to a lot more voices than we had. They go to their social media websites and they feel that every time they say something or do something, they're empowering whatever number of followers they have on that social media platform. And as the older generation, as the parents, as the teachers, we didn't grow up with social media and technology. So we sometimes struggle to understand and embrace that that's how kids learn in today's day and age. And it's our job, our responsibility to understand how they learn so then we can grab their attention, grab their hearts, and then we can educate them. And then when you can grab their hearts and their attention, then you can get them to maximize who they are. Then you can hold them accountable. Then you can challenge them to grow every day because they realize that you're in it to help them. And then they're able to take all that information they have and use it for the appropriate ways and use it in a way where it's productive and conducive to love and engaging people rather than dividing and pushing people away.
We live in a society of what have you done for us today? So you took South Carolina to the Final Four, but now you're embarking on the 2017-2018 season. What's your prognosis for this season?
I got no idea, like I usually do at this time of year. But I do know this. I really, really like our team. We've got some returning players that played valuable minutes on last year's team. And we're around those seniors that were so just unbelievable in creating the mindset and the daily approach. We've got some brand new guys that I like a lot. They're way ahead of the curve as far as where most freshmen are at. I like the team. We've been practicing for a week. My early impression of our team is that it has a chance to be the best shooting team that I've had in my time as a head coach. And there's some things about our team that I won't really learn until we start playing games. That's where you start learning about some of the things about your team, how they handle adversity, how they handle attention, how they handle failure. You learn all those things when you get into the season, and I've got some new parts and new people that I have not been through those experiences with before.
We're talking to Coach Frank Martin. When we come back, we'll ask him what's the biggest thing he learned in 33 years of coaching basketball. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasul. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Coach Frank Martin. Coach, 33 years, coaching basketball. What's the biggest thing it's taught you?
Patience, the importance of helping, the importance of giving, all those things combined. I tell our players all the time, you learn that you're a man the day you embrace the fact that giving brings you a lot more joy than getting. and helping young people. And in my walk of life, I deal with men, helping young men go through those moments, the good, the bad, the indifferent, and finding the patience to stay in it with them, utilizing basketball as my educational tool to help them get to a stage in their life where they find success. And as they find success and become men, they realize that our duty in life is to give, not get.
Speaking of, you say you work with men, these men are 17 to 21 years old. And Frank Martin, your future, your success, your paycheck is on their shoulders. How do you handle that?
That's, you know, Jack, it's, I joke with this one all the time. It's we're the only industry that generates the revenue dollars that it does that's dependent on 18-year-olds. And every other Fortune 500 company, 18-year-olds make coffee, make copies, and give people rides. And in our industry, we all depend on their successes for everybody to be able to maintain their jobs and move forward. And that's the beauty. I mean, I signed up to coach college basketball not to make money. I took a job to make less money. I signed up to coach college basketball because it was the next challenge in my life. And what basketball's always taught me is that it allows me to empower young people to get educated. It empowers me to help young people find success. We all learn different ways. We all use different vehicles trying to get to the same common place of success. And the one thing that, regardless of what vehicle we use, what instrument we utilize to reach people, the one thing that's common in those of us that are able to find some form of success is education. Education is what allows us to love. Education is what allows us to manage emotions. Education is what allows us to make decisions. And those are the things that we have to do to succeed. And for me to be able to empower young people to learn how to get educated so they can find success through basketball, I live a dream every day.
Speaking of empowering young people, talk to us about Hispanic players and Hispanic coaches going forward in college basketball.
Yeah, there's two head coaches right now of Hispanic descent, myself being one, and the other one being Mike Bellotto at Arkansas State. There's a couple other Hispanic coaches as assistant coaches around the country, it's a big responsibility of mine to try every day to do my job to the best of my abilities, to represent my job title in a way that others like me, that whether they come from similar socioeconomic backgrounds as me, whether they look like me or not, just others like me that maybe want to take a chance to pursue this as a dream and open up doors for other Hispanics or young people that come from challenging backgrounds to know that if you do right and you listen and you work and you believe and you're loyal and you're honest, that unbelievable things can happen for you. And that's a torch that I proudly carry every single day.
If a young person thinks they would like to be a head coach or be a coach, how do they get started?
Go teach the game. It's we live in a, once again, going backwards in our conversation a little bit, we live in a society where we all want to get paid before we do the job. And unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. You have to go work, and you got to go give of yourself to help others. And if you do that well, and you learn about the game, and then you're able to go teach the game to people, and then that way other people can then utilize their lessons the game teaches them so they can play it the right way so their team succeeds. And everything in life is team, family, team. It doesn't change. Job, the same deal, your company. Your team has to succeed. And when your player succeeds, everyone within it, for the most part, moves forward. So with all that said, I'd say, you know, that's what I would tell young people. Go teach the game. Go learn it. What you learn, then go out and teach it through your voice, your eyes, in your way. Don't try to teach it the way other people teach it. Teach it the way you want to teach it. But be clear on what you're trying to teach, and then do everything you can to get a group of people that all look different, act differently, think differently, to come together for the common goal of success. And if you can do that, then you got a chance to continue to move through this business. And sometimes you don't get the glory or the opportunity to get on the platform that God's been willing to give me. But at the end of the day, you sleep real good every night because you're helping so many other folks.
Coach Martin, as our time winds down this evening, what advice would you give to our young listeners?
Understand how powerful you are in today's society because of social media. Don't utilize social media to divide. Don't use social media to create dissension. On the contrary, use social media so your team, every time you utilize it, you're educating those that pay attention to what you say. Use it to bring people together. Use it to share love. Stand up for your values. Stand up for your beliefs. But do it in a way where you bring people together and not push people away. And if you can do that, then we're going to make young people better. And if we make young people better, then we're all doing our jobs, which is we're making this country, this place, this city, this sport better for the next generation than it was before we got into it.
And Coach Frank Martin, that's how you live your life every day. Please keep up the great, great work.
Absolutely, Jack. Thank you so much.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. It's for home.
Believe in yourself.